This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, I thought spring had sprung. It got cold again.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris and I both rocking shorts today. Not a good idea. It's a little chilly, but it's warm inside here at Hooters in Cumberland. Got a lot of guys and ladies have been signing up for the college basketball, the thing coming to State Farm Arena next weekend, which you're definitely going to want to see. So we got a lot of folks getting signed up. We got really cool Hooters swag to give away. A little bit later this hour, Joe Patrick's going to join us. We'll talk about Atlanta United, some good, some bad, and ugly against Inter Miami, and then some Falcon talk as well. No movement, guys, on Kirk Cousins. The big story today, not involving pro, but college football, as Kirby Smart suspends two Bulldogs, Nitro Tuggle and offensive lineman Marquise Easley. Tuggle was arrested Thursday earlier this morning, speeding, maximum limit on reckless driving charges. Monday, a white Dodge was involved in a crash over in, it looks like, Watkinsville. And the state police got involved in that one. And that was, I presume, the one that involved Marquise Easley. Marquez, make sure I get the pronunciation. Either way, they're off the team right now, suspended indefinitely. And needless to say, Chris, the optics, after everything Georgia's dealt with the last 4 years, the epidemic of guys still driving like knuckleheads in Athens continues.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that's different this time around, Mike, is I think Kirby gets absolved because he's clearly putting in harsh punishment.
Right.
He clearly has implemented a zero-tolerance policy. It's not his fault if these guys continue to do this after being warned and preached to and educated. Guys, if you don't realize this, Kirby and his staff spend money and hours of their time teaching these kids about the rules of the road. And
they bring counselors in. They bring guys to speak to them.
And once you let them out of the classroom, they have to make responsible choices.
Yeah, we said this earlier to start this segment in the 2 o'clock hour. I never get high and mighty on that because, you know, Lord knows I've got my share of speeding tickets. We can all make better decisions sometimes behind the wheel. But this is one where you're like, literally, it would be cheaper now for the athletic department from a prestige standpoint and the PR hits to just give these guys an open Uber account. And I get it. You got money. You want to have some fun. You get a car. You know, most of us, again, it doesn't matter. As I said, you can have a beater for a car. You can have something with 700 horsepower. Either way, you can get in trouble. But in this case, the optics are terrible. You had the tragedy 4 years ago now, and it just doesn't resonate. And again, you say, well, the new guys don't know. Well, they need to be known. It needs to be known. They need to be made aware of it. So Kirby, as you said, Chris, and it's funny because we already had guys in the text line going, you can't resuspend all these guys. Well, you got to draw a line somewhere, guys, and I get it. The parity now and the way the big boys are basically robbing from each other in the transfer portal. I know some people say that Nitro is going to leave any. Well, good riddance. If you're that much of an idiot, I'm sorry. Nitro Tuggle was apparently thinking about the transfer portal back in December.
Yeah, and then he decided to come back. So, guys, listen, it's about the bigger picture here, and the bigger picture here is making sure that what happened after the national championship game never happens again. And if that means players need to be continued to be suspended indefinitely, then so be it. But Kirby got to a point where they can no longer, not that they ever were looking the other way, but they can no longer not implement the harshest of penalties possible.
Right. I mean, guys, I mean, Devin Willick, Chandler Croy lost their lives. And, you know, I mean, Jalen Carter has to deal with the repercussions from his involvement, albeit being there around the scene that night. And he's addressed it, you know, subsequently. But this is something for these young guys. They've just got to get it to their noggins. It's just one where, and I know that some guys will immediately say, well, that Athens, PD, I get it. I know. Over, yes, back in the day, giving out tickets for, you know, a beer ticket or somebody, some narc, somebody narking somebody out for smoking in a dorm room, that's not this. This is something that, you know, the message has to get through. I do agree that sometimes things that they guys get away with at other schools, Alabama, they don't necessarily get away with, but it doesn't matter. The, like I say all the time, Chris, the toothpaste is out of the tube. This happened. And it's embarrassing to the Kirby, and that's why they dropped the hammer. Anyway, more on that if we get more, but two dogs suspended indefinitely. Right now, let's talk some pro football with 4th and 1. Hey, man, coming up in 5 minutes, what Mike White had to say about Georgia taking on Gonzaga. You hear some of the sound about what the plan is for this afternoon's match with Gonzaga. Right now, though, what's going on with Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, here's the thing, guys. There are dueling insider reports. We have a joust between two well-respected NFL insiders. So yesterday, Mike and I talked about Josina Anderson putting out a tweet that said, teams are ringing. The phone is ringing off the hook at Flowery Branch, and as high as a third-round pick may have been discussed for old Kirko.
Okay.
Then,
and last you and I were like, wow, third
round. We were like, holy smokes, we'll drive him to the airport.
Even if we have to pay $15 million of the 27 and a half to get it off the books.
Buying a pick, worth it every time, especially when you don't have one. And then last night, Jordan Schultz, the maniac who got into a fight with Ian Rappaport at Starbucks, decided.
At Indianapolis during the combine.
Yeah, during the combine, he put out that it's actually the opposite. It's the Falcons are the ones who were calling around and gauging what the interest could be from several teams. So depending on who's leaking what to who, you have to choose who you believe in this circumstance. They're both well-respected reporters, but they're reporting completely different things right now.
Okay. So we'll see just where this one goes. Look, I get it, and Carl touched on this last week. It's going to take a minute. It might be after June 1st. I thought, though, I always felt that something with Cousins would happen before the draft. We would be getting the draft. There'd be, if there was a trade, we'd get a pick this year. Maybe it happens and it'd be a 2026 pick. So be it. Anything we can leverage to move up, if there's a guy we want to grab in the second round, who knows? But I just want to have as many picks to play with in this draft. That might not be in the offing if they can't get this deal consummated. Cleveland seems like the most logical landing spot. Aaron Rodgers is still just doing what he does. We've already heard the Steeler comments. Cam Hayward said it on Wednesday or Tuesday. Say, look, man, just blank or get off the pot. Make up your mind. Minnesota said, we're not dealing with that. I have a hard time thinking that Minnesota would engage with Kirk Cousins after the weirdness of him leaving. Coach loves him. The GM just doesn't like dealing with his agent.
Well, let me ask you this, Mike. I was thinking about this last night. If you're Cleveland and you don't take a quarterback at 2, meaning you either take Carter, Hunter, or you trade back, how does a quarterback room of Kenny Pickett and Carson Wentz sound?
Sounds like food poisoning.
Yeah. So I think.
Well, why are you bringing that up, Tracy Morgan?
Right. Because.
Food poisoning my ass.
Yeah. Well, when your nose becomes a
hug, I'm sorry, I digress. But yeah, most Browns fans be going bleh on that one.
Right. So at that point, does Andrew Berry turn around and say, oh my, this is my quarterback room? Maybe we call the Falcons after all. Because you're on the verge there, Mike, of totally losing that fan base. You got Myles Garrett and you got nothing else.
Right. Yep. And I think that's why, you know, if you are them, just go get Shedeur Sanders and reset your and have a guy that you can get excited about, and eventually you will finally move on from Deshaun Watson. But some would say no. Travis Hunter is the pick because of the amazing dual threat ability. Armando Salguero is of the opinion Cam Ward's going to go first to the Titans. Like the good news is, guys, we get two quarterbacks taken before we select. Then maybe Mykal Williams falls to us. So that's one thing. I don't buy any of that nonsense of Shedeur Sanders falling out of the top 15 or the top 10.
No, he's going to go.
Yeah, and again, like the Giants made no sense on that Hard Knocks offseason last year. They're making no sense now. So I have no idea what their plans are going to be, and who knows? That GM's not long for this world, if we're honest. Hey, man, the Commanders down the road pick up a guy that was, you know, a decent piece, Michael Gallup, a former third rounder. He retired last season He had played for the Cowboys and he was with the Raiders, but he's decided to come back. His agent says he's excited about what they're doing in D.C. You know, they traded for Debo, re-signed Noah Brown, Terry McLaurin, Luke McCaffrey. They got some dudes.
Yeah, and then you got Zach Ertz coming back to play tight end. You got Robinson in the backfield. I mean, they're kind of like us. Like, the offense should just be humming. Yeah. It's just about if the defense can get back to what it was a couple of years ago.
Commanders making things happen. Hey, guys, it's a 4th and 1 here on Dukes and Bell. And, guys, this hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Appreciate Oren back at the ranch. Let's get some audio from Mike White as we get ready for a game in just about an hour and 20 or so. Georgia, first tournament trip in a while. And not a lot of expectations, certainly from the nation. Certainly not from the gambling nation. Of Las Vegas knows Gonzaga. That's a big brand. Georgia is a lot. I'm not saying it's like a, you know, people are dealing with SEC fatigue. It's just Gonzaga is a well-known entity. Georgia hasn't been there.
No, and that's why they're 6.5-point underdogs in this one. Right. And I think, honestly, as I said to start the show, I think this is just a talent mismatch at the end of the day, as well as a coaching mismatch at the end of the day. Right. Mike White's a good coach. He did some good things this year. Mark Few's one of the best that we got.
And the Zags score a lot of points. They're going to have – I mean, we said it earlier, you cannot have one of those scoring droughts. The guys have got to be letter perfect to win this game. That's why it's an even match, 8-9. Like, no blank Sherlock. Like, Louisville, by the way, unfortunately for Chris – against Creighton, you know, they made it interesting, but Creighton really blew doors hitting those three-pointers earlier in that one.
My poor Breck.
Let's hear from Mike White. He thinks they're going to play well.
We couldn't be more excited about being here. And our approach has been good. Gonzaga's terrific. And we anticipate playing well and it being a great game.
Now, he did well early in his career at Florida. And then later, it was a lot of early round exits for the Gators. That's why I always said, and some dog fans get mad at me when I say he got ahead of the posse in Gainesville. But they bring him in here, and, you know, it's there's expectations. It's quicker now to turn a team around. We've seen other teams do it. And that's why this has to be a win for Georgia, something to build on, to get fans excited, to get Josh Brooks when he passes the hat, to get more NIL money, transfer, get the guys into Athens. Let's hear more from Mike White, how the SEC schedule prepares him for a game like tonight.
Yeah, I think it's prepared us to be as resilient as just about any team in the country, which is really unique for the lack of experience that our group has. It shows the character and the connectivity, the mental toughness that our group has. We'll respond to adversities, to runs. What does that mean for the outcome of the game? Who knows? But it's a resilient group, and you've got to be resilient in situations like this against really good teams on the big stage because adversities are coming.
Yeah, man. Gonzaga's a good team, man. They score a lot of points. We talked about, you know, outside shooting, down low, they got a guy that can move it. What about Ace Newell? We said earlier, he's got to have a monster night, right, Coach?
He's unfazed. He has been since our first game. We knew a week in, probably a month in, that he was special. We're winding down here. He's never had a bad practice. He's never had a bad day. He's the same guy every day.
It's got to be him, and it's got to be Silas Demery Jr. Those are the two guys that the offense is going to run through. And if they're going to compete, both those guys, like you said, Mike, they got to both show up big.
Let's see what happens to the battle between Blue Kane, one of the great names of college hoops, and Nolan Hickman. So, I mean, we need some guys to step up, man. I mean, as we said, you got to be smart. You cannot have those lapses where Gonzaga goes on a 12-1 run. Can't have it.
No.
It'll be over. Hey, man, we'll talk more about the tournament, and we'll get you up to speed on some of the other scores coming up. Wisconsin taking care of business. I always laugh when I see the MONT. I always think of the old Harry Carey line. Let's take a look at the National League scoreboard. St. Louis leads Montana. Check that. That's Montreal. No, Wisconsin's leading. Auburn is all over the Cinderella story, Alabama State. We talked earlier about, unfortunately, Louisville, and now guys are, you know, because that's a brand. You don't know Creighton. You got to do your homework, Chris. You got to know those Blue Jays. Do you know where Creighton is from?
They're in...
See, you got to know this stuff. No. That's Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah, in Omaha.
Damn it, Chris. You're the producer. You're the brains of the operation. Come back. Joe Patrick's going to join us, talk some United and Falcons. We're live, guys, at Hooters, Cumberland location, Cobb Parkway, with all sorts of cool stuff. I always like to give Chris a musical education. Somehow we get on the subject of your own private Idaho. We're talking about Montana. We're getting to that part of the country. Anyway, yeah, it's always good party tooth. Own private Idaho. This I was cranking up, Oren. Chris had never heard this before. Yeah. Athens, Georgia's own, B-52s.
Yeah, it's funny. I know the B-52s. I know all their hits. I don't know this one.
One of the nicest guys I've ever met, Fred Schneider. One of the first interviews I ever did working for a top 40 station. When Love Shack, that album came out, Oren, I got to interview him back in the day. Really nice. And then years later, ran into a really, really good dude. Hey, man, we're going to talk to Smokin' Joe Patrick. Falcons making moves in free agency. Where's this money coming from? How is Anya Mata still on this team? What's going on with Kirk Cousins? We just talked about it last segment. Real quick, a reminder, guys. Yes, we are at Hooters, and we're having a blast. And, guys, Hooters is where you want to be. All the TVs, all the great food. We did the Daytona wings, which you got to have. I get them naked. Did some of those lemon pepper shrimp, which are fantastic. And Andy Randy will be up the road, literally up Cobb Parkway. We're here at Cumberland. They'll be at the Kettle store tomorrow doing the midday show. So go hang out, watch the Friday brackets, and watch the brackets get busted, everybody. Right now on the WadeFord.com hotline, he's our Falcons insider, our United insider, and he's precocious. That's what they call him, Smokin' Joe Patrick. Hey, man, what's going on, Joe?
What's going on, guys? Just enjoying myself some March Madness here.
Right on. I mean, Chris, I did a meme today. I can't say I cussed on my meme on Twitter, but I may trend. But I basically said no one gives a blank about your bracket, Joe.
Yeah, I saw that. It is, you know, it's very much like the fantasy football where, like, you know, guys, people love to talk about who's on their fantasy. Nobody else really cares except for that one person who it's the biggest thing in the world to.
Exactly.
Right on. But yeah, Chris, it was funny. Chris was like, well, Louisville.
Chris was like, yeah.
And we'll talk more about Georgia coming up. But real quick, I mean, the Falcons, do you still think Anya Mata's going to get cut? I mean, I know they have to have cash for your draft class, but we were kind of surprised that they continue to keep making moves.
I mean, I know. It is odd that he is still on the team. And it's not that he's, like, necessarily some scrub player or anything, but just given the cost and what is, you know, I believe he's about $17 million against the cap this year or something like that. And Grady was not that much more. And, you know, obviously they made the move they did with Grady. I personally think that he's kind of being held in reserve right now. Like, you know, they're happy to keep him at the, you know, at the time, but if they, you know, draft somebody who's clearly going to take his spot or something like that, make another free agency signing potentially, depending on how the draft unfolds, then they could just kind of cut him loose and open up money that way. But it is bizarre because I certainly thought, I mean, I know we've had like tons of conversations about this over the offseason. I thought he would be one of the first names off the team sheet, I guess, to kind of borrow a phrase from another sport. But it is an interesting one.
All right, Joe, they signed Jordan Fuller yesterday. Still haven't seen an amount on that yet. If you know, let us know. Is he sliding right into a starting spot, or you think he's going to compete? And do you think this eliminates safety off the board for the Falcons early?
Yeah, I'm also interested to see that number, Chris, because I think it will tell us a lot about just how much the Falcons are valuing him and exactly what kind of role that's going to be. Because usually you can tell by the amount of money they're going to make, whether that's kind of starting money or if that is – like kind of to the point that you just made, money to maybe just come in and basically compete for a starting job with obviously DeMarco Helms, who's going to be coming back from a season-ending injury that he had last year in preseason. And I've seen this debate kind of going on about whether that takes a safety off the board, obviously because Malachi Starks is, you know, from Georgia and obviously one of the top safeties and clearly a position of need for this team. I think still, having said that, I would say that I do think that this changes things slightly. I mean, Jordan Fuller, from my perspective, this just is kind of a continuation of a theme that the Falcons have had in their offseason moves, which is to, you know, stock up the cupboards, for basically, to have yourself so that you're not completely, you know, in need at one spot going into the draft. But I would say that this has to kind of take it slightly down, right? I mean, like, obviously before the signing, safety was a very, very clear need where you didn't know exactly who your starter was going to be. Now I think you can say, okay, well, the starter is potentially going to be obviously Jesse Bates and then either DeMarco Helms or Jordan Fuller. But we'll see. I mean, so I do think that it changes slightly, but I wouldn't say that it eliminates, you know, the potential that Malachi Starks could come off the board to the Falcons. But I certainly would say that it opens up the board for what the Falcons could do here. And maybe that it could be Malachi Starks, could be, you know, Michael Williams, could be Jalen Walker. I think that there's a number of ways that this team could go. But for me personally, you know, I would have been aiming at edge before the Jordan Fuller move.
Right.
And I would still be looking that way. I don't think you need to, you know, keep it simple, stupid. That's kind of the way I see this one for the Falcons.
Right. Leonard Floyd is a temporary fix. You know, we talked about Morgan Fox. You know, I didn't say Megan Fox, although
good
I'd be
job.
More interested in Megan. But these are all people, and you mentioned, you know, bringing in guys that there's familiarity, you know, with Coach Jordan Fuller played for
right.
Raheem Morris when he was the DC with the Rams. And that's how the world works in business and in the NFL. You go with guys you know. But could you anticipate us, if just for argument's sake, they don't have Michael Williams as high as we think maybe they should. Who knows? See, that's the thing. I don't know if he's going to be a 10-sack guy. I ask all of our experts,
right.
Joe, what does your spidey sense tell you? Can he be that guy for us? How are they going to use him? Or should we just go with a guy like Mike Green or something else?
So I think that Michael Williams can be. And honestly, I think he's one of my favorite kind of prospects for the Falcons in particular because of his profile being a true – three-down defender. Obviously, Arnold Levitt-Cady, this is going to be his last year under contract with the Falcons, and they'll have to decide whether they want to re-sign him or not. But I see edge defender like Arnold Levitt-Cady as being very different from a Michael Williams, who would be a guy who is, you know, again, he's kind of the stout and the more kind of power end, where Arnold Levitt-Cady is kind of, you know, the lighter weight, kind of flying around and trying to get into the backfield, that type of edge rusher. So, and I think that, honestly, I think the Falcons would be looking for someone more along the lines of a Michael Williams, but you're never going to, like, complain about, you know, quality production from that position wherever you can get it. So whether that is Mike Green or somebody else. But I do kind of see a similarity here at this position potentially as being similar to what the team did last year. Now, obviously, the team isn't kind of last year at the quarterback position. Now, obviously, the team isn't spending the kind of money on Leonard Floyd that they did on Kirk Cousins before they go and then spend their first-round pick on the same position. But I think you can say, you know, we wanted to get in somebody with, you know, bona fide track record of production at the position, at the quarterback position. That was Kirk Cousins. You just have to pay more for that. But I think that you can argue that they did something similar here with Floyd. And when you look at what the Falcons have done between Floyd and Morgan Fox, I mean, they've added sack production. you know, it's one sack, but considering that you're losing, you know, a really quality player in Grady Jarrett, you know, I think it totally makes sense with what they've done to try to replace those guys at kind of a budget cost. And I think that now is the time, again, if you don't plan to be picking this high, I'm sure they don't want to be picking in the you know, middle teens in the years to come. You're not going to get many opportunities to go out and get, you know, these premium edge rushers, especially since this draft class is so stocked full of those types of players. So I think this is their opportunity to go out and get that guy that they can lock down, obviously, for the first 5 years, and then hopefully a lot of years to come after that.
All right, Joe, the latest saga as the world turns for Kirk Cousins. We get dueling reports over the last 24 hours. Josina Anderson reports Falcons are fielding calls for Cousins, multiple, could be as high as a third-round pick. Then Jordan Schultz of Fox, quote, they're calling everyone right now that'll listen, meaning the Falcons. So two prominent reporters saying two different things about the state of where Cousins is. What is your latest on what you think will happen with Kirk and his future in Atlanta?
Yeah, I continue to kind of think that Kirk is most likely not going to be on the Falcons by the time that you know, week one rolls around. But not that that couldn't happen. I just think that there will ultimately be teams that need a quarterback and need a solution at quarterback and come to Kirk Cousins. And so it is interesting to see these two reports. When the Josina Anderson report came out, I didn't really honestly put much stock into it just because I'm just having trouble believing basically
right.
What was being reported there. I think what Jordan Schultz reported is more believable, I guess. But, you know, everybody can take those how they want. And just, you know, their reports are reports. You know, but I will say overall, Chris, you know, when I'm looking at this quarterback landscape, there are still, you know, nearly a handful of teams out there that don't really have the quarterback position settled at this point in time and probably are not going to have it settled after the draft. Like, there are, how many starting quarterbacks are there in this draft? Like, how many are going to be coming out of it and starting for their team in week one? Like, maybe one or two?
So maybe two, maybe three tops.
Obviously not a strong class. And the Falcons were able, I'll give them credit to having seen around this corner last year and seeing how weak this draft class was going to be. And it kind of, you know, it's kind of funny how that weak class that they were so worried about last year could now be one of the ways that they're able to move Kirk Cousins out. And there's one team in particular that's kind of got me intrigued right now, and that's the Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
And, you know, there was a report that came out yesterday saying that they were going to Not that they didn't want Aaron Rodgers anymore, but they were going to wait on that decision until after they were able to get a closer look at J.J. McCarthy in the spring. That would align with some of the reports that we've heard about Kirk Cousins' desires to kind of choose his team after the draft so he can see the way that these quarterbacks shake out. And I wonder if these things are connected at all. Because if they are, then, you know, Kirk Cousins would, I'm sure, love to go back to Minnesota, where he's obviously got tons of relations with the coaching staff and elsewhere. He's obviously got a house there, and they play in a dome. There's just a lot of things that would make sense for him to go back there. Now, there's obviously a lot of ways that that could not happen as well. And there's some other teams, the Giants, the Titans, I would also kind of highlight as, you know, key teams that will, could potentially be looking for a player like him. But I say this to say that I think there are going to be suitors for Kirk Cousins this summer and going into next season.
Right, and that's what Carl's been saying. Might be post-June. Just still don't think you'll have him on the roster. I mean, if they're prepared to do that, they can deal with all the weirdness that will come with it. That will be interesting. Still will need to have a backup quarterback because at any minute, Kirk Cousins could be gone. We didn't get a chance to talk about United in a nutshell. Stop running into each other in the front and play better defense. There you go. All right, Joe, we will talk to you next week. That's our Falcons insider. Our Joe, Smoking Joe Patrick right here live at Hooters, guys. Chris is in for Carl. That means Oren is going to handle the yeah, man, no man action. This partnership of the program is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. So come on down. Darken our door at Hooters in Cumberland. We've got some passes, guys, tickets for the big college hoops coming to State Farm. Capiche? It's going to be a lot of fun next weekend.
It's not 15 and it's not 17.
What he said. We've also got some really cool swag that Hooters has given us to give you guys. Matter of fact, next three guys who roll in, we got some Hooters goodies for you. Next guys come in, say, hey, heard Dukes and Bell? Come on down, say hi to Chris and me. We're live, man, or next with Yeah, Man, No Man. It is Dukes and Bell, man. We're hanging out here. Got some Georgia fans rolling in. Did have a guy come up to me going, it's always funny. And a guy, of course, and I'm not trying to stereotype, but it's easy when it's Georgia Tech fans. Guy goes, why are you wearing a Georgia pullover and you have a Florida State bag? I go, I don't know, because my friends are Georgia. Because it's fun to root for a team that's in the tournament, and Georgia is so infrequently in the tournament. Because I pull for everybody. And I have Georgia Tech gear. I just rarely have a chance to wear it.
Been a decade, Mike.
But anyway, I was like, why are you? Because again, I've lived here. Why? What is this, junior high? Why are you? Yeah, I mean, if I known I was going to work in Atlanta, I would have maybe tried and studied harder and gone to UGA. Not that my father could have afforded it, anybody to have a scholarship. But anyway, it is what it is. I pull for them now. I'm pulling for Mike White. I hope they don't just get smoked by Gonzaga. Matter of fact, I bet Georgia to cover the 6.5. Probably a dumb bet. Because I don't like this matchup.
Well, you know what the other thing, too, is, Mike? Besides, you know, Georgia's run a couple of years ago and the Braves in 2021, it's not exactly like you're jumping on a bunch of teams that win it every year and you're just a bandwagon guy.
And it's funny. Newsflash, when FSU sucks, I don't go down to Tallahassee, okay? Matter of fact, real quick, or I'm sorry, I'm cutting into Yeah, Man, No Man. One of our sales guys is a Florida State alum, and we were both joking around. I've had my finger... an inch or two from hitting enter to actually buy the season two, sign up for the season tickets as a booster for next year. The team won two games. The quarterback who played with my godson in Savannah is not there anymore. No idea what Norvell's doing. They brought in a guy from Boston College to play QB. Local ties, Castellanos the kid. I've just no idea what they're going to be. The only game that I'd be even interested in, it's like the Alabama game to start the season. But anyway, it's... Yeah, so when they sucked at the end of the Bowden era, it was fun to be rooting for Mark Rigdon going out to Sanford Stadium with Johnny and the guys every weekend. So, yes, I'm a traitor to my school, okay? I will go to watch Georgia games. You got me, you nerd. On that note, let's have some Yeah, Man, No Man. But wait, Chris is here. That means Oren's over there at the ranch in Midtown. Big O, you got some Yeah, Man, No Man for us. What's going on?
Gentlemen, it was a big day in the Romaine household today, gentlemen. Big day.
Testify.
For all the parents out there, it's that day you look forward to the most when you have a small child, when they learn how to go to the bathroom by themselves.
Hey.
Outstanding.
There so, yeah, go. Little man, we've been enticing him with copious amounts of candy and extra TV time. if he just sits down on our fake toilet and does his business. And this morning was the morning that it finally happened. And he was absolutely grossed out at what he did. It was the funniest thing. Like, he stood up and was like, I want no part of this. This was absolutely horrible. And shout out to my mom. My mom watches him during the week with my wife teaching and me being here. We kind of shift day schedule. So she's taking on the endeavor of doing this mostly by herself. There are some things in life I feel that are documentable. You know, you want to like remember that moment. Yeah. Not that. My mom decided that would be a good thing to take a picture of and send the entire family.
Let's take a look at number two.
Not the best thing in the world to open up and see.
Oh, little man's first turd.
So you're just kind of like, oh, mom, that's we're excited about this, but that's something I think that's best expressed in just text words only. We don't have to have any visuals, any images. Nothing like that has to happen. Just let that be like, hey, he crapped on the pot. That's awesome. Yes. And leave it at that. But yeah, so
he's a big boy. Big boy made a dookie.
Did his own thing this morning. Was excited that we were excited, and even more excited he got to have extra Reese's Pieces candy because of it. So
good for him. That's see, that's exciting though. Good for you, man. Yeah. One less thing to worry about as a daddy. He's taking care of business.
There you go. The Boston Celtics right now, guys, have set a record. A big record. When the team was purchased by the former owners, the Grousback family, in 2002, they were sold by for $360 million. Well, gentlemen, they just set the North American record now. They were sold or reportedly going to be sold now for a price with a valuation of $6.1 billion, which would surpass what Josh Harris paid for the Commanders just like a year, almost 2 years ago. So, yeah, man, no, man. The Celtics being the most valuable franchise now in North American sports.
That's something. I mean, we've talked about how the NFL, Jerry Jones, the Cowboys, obviously. With the thing is all the real estate. You know, they've got the Star Complex, which is its own kind of like, you know, unbelievable shopping district and all that. You've got the stadium and all and everything that entails. It is the ultimate billionaire boys club. That certainly means a good investment for Tony Ressler based on what he paid initially for the Hawks. They don't own the TD Garden, by the way. It's owned by Delaware North. That CEO owns the Bruins. So it's interesting. That's the wealth without having ownership of the of the Celtics, according to what I'm reading. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the heritage franchises, could you only imagine what the Lakers would go for or the Yankees would go for or some of these other, like the Cowboys that we just mentioned, if these teams would sell $9, $10 billion. It's gotten to a point where it's so astronomical. It's just, Mike, it's monopoly money at this point is what it sounds like from these numbers. But, yeah, I mean, Oren, it makes all the sense in the world. I mean, they're one of the top five most recognizable brands in the entire country with their logo, with their history, with all their championships. So, I mean, listen, and to buy a team at the right time, Mike Bell, I mean, when you got Tatum and you got Brown and Porzingis.
Right. By the way, my buddy Jimmy, who's from Fall River, listens to the show online. He just hit me up, and I just found this link to an article. The article, see, knowing they're for sale, from a couple of months back in Boston paper, should the Celtics build a new arena once they sell? So speaking of having even more value to that $6.1 billion, that's interesting because, they don't own the TD Garden.
So the other thing, too, to consider real quick, guys, is the TV networks.
Right.
Some of the teams have a hand, like the Yankees own the YES Network. Some of the teams have their own.
I don't know how that works with NESN, NESN. But
Yeah, that could be something to look at in the future as well as we continue to change how we watch sports.
How about that?
Yeah, new arenas, though. They up the value of franchises almost instantly. We've seen it here with the Braves and Falcons and whatnot, what those new arenas do for the teams. We've talked a lot about the Pittsburgh Steelers this offseason, mostly because we're wondering what they're going to do at quarterback, and if there's a guy here who may end up there. Najee Harris played running back for them, was drafted a few years ago, did not re-sign this offseason, went to San Diego instead. Was asked in a little interview piece about what it was like to play offense for the Steelers last year, and his answer was very, very telling.
Clayton, you know, it was just the time just ran out, you know what I mean? Because it was just a team where, you know, we lost Ben, we lost a lot of the O-line. We just didn't know anything on offense, really. We didn't have identity. We had a young guy coming out quarterback. You know, I was young. The team was young. And I really didn't have nobody to almost learn from the offensive side. I think the veteran guy on that team was like a like a 2-3 year vet, and that's nothing. You know what I mean? Like, he's still learning himself, and I'm coming in, and you know, I'm just trying to look for people to you know, pick their brain off of. And it was just defensive guys, so I'll go to the defensive guys to talk to them, but you know, it wouldn't be too much they could tell me about an offensive thing. You know what I mean? So you know, through my years, I learned a lot that, you know, only I learned firsthand. And I feel like here, you know, I mean, we got a lot of veterans that I could learn even more stuff from.
So, yeah, man, no, man. Him saying that he learned more from where he is in Los Angeles right now with the Chargers in a short amount of time than the Steelers.
Wow.
Are the Steelers somewhat dysfunctional now? Yeah, man,
yes,
no, man.
That's what I've been, yes, because we all think that Mike Tomlin is this man of steel, pardon the pun. They wobbled. Matt Canada was a terrible, and that's what Najee Harris is talking about. When he came in, Matt Canada was the OC, and there's no idea of that offense. They waited one more. They should have cut bait with Ben Roethlisberger, make the hard decision. Roethlisberger did not have anything left, as you guys know, at the end. And there was a much more robust quarterback class than the one that they basically shoehorned in and said, well, we're going to have to go all in on Pickett, who wasn't even worthy of being a first-round pick in hindsight. So that's interesting. And now with Arthur Smith, you know, he's trying to make some things work there. And then remember, they didn't have the quarterback. Certainly Justin Fields couldn't beat out Russell Wilson, but the injury kept Russell Wilson out. Then he takes the job back over. You're right. There's some dysfunction there. And I don't understand how the Rooney family, with all due respect to Mike Tomlin, who's been the gold standard, you're not winning anything. Remember Marvin Lewis with the Bengals? All those years, you never won anything. It's like the Bobby Cox thing all over. At least Bobby did win one World Series. But to me, it's like you got to change the approach.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of the grass ain't always greener thinking going on in Pittsburgh, just because, you know, the thing with him is he's never had a losing record.
Well, right, but you're not winning Super Bowls anymore.
You've won like one playoff
game. You're a team that's measured by Super Bowls, not by just getting to the playoffs.
Exactly, and you've won like one playoff game in the last 4 years. So it's not exactly –
No, believe me, it's a great place. We'd like to get to that starting off point, relatively speaking, but still, that's not what the Steelers are about.
Well, Mike, I don't know about you, but – Very high right
now. I mean, I love Tom and I love the sound bites, but you're not winning. Winning, but you're not winning anything.
No, and they have a defense.
You're playing
right
one more game than everybody else.
Yeah, they have a defense right now that if you can get a competent quarterback in there, they can win.
Right.
But they've had some of the same problems we've had here in Atlanta with running through quarterbacks since Ben retired.
Right. And stubbornness with bad coordinators who don't do the job.
All righty, guys. We're going to get it here in just a second, but upset special kind of brewing right now. McNeese and Clemson. Be sure to go check out that game if you guys just are kind of aware of that one right now. Funny story.
And by the way, that's one of Clark Kellogg's teams. He's got Clemson going a long, long way.
Yeah.
McNeese has a student manager, guys. The only student manager in the country, Amir Khan, who has NIL deals. Found this out today. Sponsored by Insomnia Cookies and Buffalo Wild Wings. So if you're watching that game and you see a guy on the sideline flashed out, blinged out with a giant stereo around his chest, that is Amir Khan, the manager for McNeese State, who apparently is the most popular person on the entire basketball team.
Yeah. If you had a better tan, Chris, you guys could be cousins.
That's true.
But it's the story, we watched it today. I got here at Hooters around noon, and I was watching it on CBS. They had the preview that Orin's talking about, the feature on it. It's hysterical. The guy's just a giant barrel of energy. He's got the big boom box that he brings out with the B-Dubs logo. And the players love this guy. That's another thing. I mean, he's beloved by his team.
Yeah, he is essentially a vibes coordinator. And
he's
a
hype man.
I love every second of
it. He's a hype man gang.
Yeah. He said if wiping up wet spots on the floor was a sport, they kept stats on it, he would be Wilt Chamberlain. So on that note, guys, I'm going to get out of here.
Good stuff.
Yeah, huh? I'm sure if you could go to the CBS Sports website and you find the feature, but it is kind of funny because I'm like, we were at the bar and the guys, we're all, you know, total strangers. We're all laughing watching this story, even with the volume down. It was kind of funny. So check it out. Good stuff, Orin, man. That's a yeah, man, no, man. Dukes and Bell with Chris filling in for Carl is out in Sin City, probably waking up right about now. Hey, man, we'll come back and tell you some bad news for dog fans. It's happened again.